I was 30-something when I entered my first congregation, when I began my ministry in 1988. I had dark brown hair and looked a little different. But in your first congregation out of seminary, you're a little lost. And I walked into this district meeting, and there was Robert Latham doing a workshop. And really, to the best I've ever heard, lay out what church is about. And so I just want you to know that it made a big imprint on me. And these two sermons that I will do, what I call my interim sermons, which kind of lay out to let you know where, how I see church and where I'm coming from. And that's only fair. But Robert, the day after I walked out of that workshop that he did, life improved for me immensely. Sunday, September 19th, will be the companion sermon that goes with this, and it's called A Different Place to Be. But today, the title is A Moral Heart. Now, what is the purpose of religion? To speak and model a message which offers the power of wholeness in human relating and the inspiration of hope in human destiny. This purpose is a unique and grand privilege, for it is the opportunity of providing for society its moral heart. And how do we gain the ear of society? First, our message must ring with clarity. People will buy into a falsehood which is clear before they will buy into a truth which is unclear. And we've seen that played out in the last few years, haven't we? However, there is confusion in our ranks about our purpose and message. Perhaps you've seen this cartoon. The bulky Viking boat is zigzagging in aimless circles despite great expenditure of energy by the individual rowers. It's obvious they're all preoccupied with personal concerns and goals. Some are paddling one way, some another. Some are paddling with the blade of the oar, some with its handle. They're turned different ways and bumping into one another. Confusion reigns, and Hagar the Horrible, seated at the helm, is shouting over the heads of the rowers, "Will you quit saying different strokes for different folks?" If we as a religious community truly want to provide for society its moral heart, then we must refocus our energies from celebrating our differences to defining our commonly held beliefs, to developing a clear sense of purpose and a clear message. Our Unitarian heritage is a good example of this focus on commonly held beliefs. As a result of Michael Servetus' book on the errors of the Trinity, a theological controversy arose in the 1500s, centered around the true nature of God. The answer, which gave birth to Unitarianism, was that God was one, not a Trinity. I had that discussion with my dad. It was this commonly held belief which bonded the Unitarian community into existence. In the first half of the 1800s, with Ralph Waldo Emerson's sermon, The Divinity School Address, the Unitarians began to shift the source of religious authority from the Bible to creation, and eventually to all sources of human wisdom. In the 1930s, the Unitarians engaged again the cosmological question, who or what is in charge? For a variety of reasons, humans were elevated to the catbird seat. By the late 1950s, our commonly held belief was humanism. Humanism prevailed until recent years in our ranks. At this moment, a new undefined theology is developing in our midst. This theology is again an engagement with the cosmological issue of who or what is in charge. And it involves a reversal of our whole Western view of reality as implied in the notion of an independent web of existence. But it's still developing, and we're still in transition, which means things aren't clear, which is not to our advantage. But this sketchy overview suggests two things. First, our heritage is one of commonly held beliefs. Second, that these beliefs that we have commonly held have never, ever been a consensus. There have always been a group that wished to anchor our beliefs in the past. There has always been a group that wished to take us farther out into the future, all throughout our history. Defining our commonly held beliefs, then, does not deny our differences, nor negate our right to disagree. I believe our principles are where we go to find our clarity. Our principles are what we hold in common. Well, I surely beat that into the ground. Let's backtrack and regain our bearings. So how do we provide society a moral heart? How do we gain the ear of society? First, our message must ring with clarity. Second, our message must offer a way for achieving wholeness in human relating and for inspiring hope about the destiny of both the individual and the human family and the planet itself. Wholeness has to do with how we integrate our relationships with self, other human beings, and with the whole universe. These three dimensions of relating incorporate the total range of human experience. And whatever message of relating dominates society, that message becomes its moral heart. So how do we arrive at our message? From engaging life's most compelling questions, those questions which dog every step of our existence, those questions whose answers determine the meaning we make and the stories we create. These are the traditional questions of religion and philosophy. I will list them as five. Who am I? Which is a question about the nature of my being. How do I know what I know? Which is a question about the source of my authority. Who or what is in charge? Which is a question about universal government. What is my purpose? Which is a question about self-worth. And what does my death mean? Which is a question about the nature of time. The answers to these questions, which define how we can relate to self, others, and the universe, in order to be whole, combined to create the religious institution's message to the world. To be sure, every major religion has its own peculiar message to offer, consistent with its cultural environment, place, and time. But the purpose of every religion is the same, to offer a way of relating which heals our disjointed, fractured, and severed relationships. So how do we provide society a moral heart? Social power is the ability to influence behavior. Behavior is a reflection of the heart's belief. Behavior changes because the heart is persuaded to believe differently. All social change begins as heart change. So if social change is the goal, heart change is the strategy. No one understood this better than Martin Luther King Jr. On the 20th anniversary of his I Have a Dream speech, an editor of the New Yorker magazine reflected, far more than he wanted the freedom to eat at lunch counters, far more than he wanted black elected officials, King wanted the change of heart of individual Americans, which would make these political changes possible. If we apply Dr. King's insights and strategies, then we must concentrate not only on that which is broken in society, but on the heart of the breakers. And that's hard. To be effective, however, we must not only speak our message, but we must model it in our congregations. This is the third key, to model our message in community. For the message without the model is an empty promise. When people hear our message proclaimed, before they're willing to commit their life to it, they wish to know if it works. And the only demonstration of this is the proclaiming community living out its message by example. It really impacts newcomers. If we Unitarian Universalists want to be the moral heart of society, to have that kind of influence that we had in the 19th century and in the 1950s, but want to be the moral heart of society to help heal a broken world, to help make it more whole, then we must first do three things. Proclaim a clear message. Offer the power of wholeness and the inspiration of hope. And model our message in community for all the world to see. This last key, to model our message in community, is much, much easier said than done. And on Sunday, September 19th, we will explore these difficulties in more depth as we look at our church as a different place to be. But to conclude today's sermon, it is as true today as when the Hebrew prophet proclaimed it. No one follows the sound of the uncertain trumpet. If we can sound that confident trumpet, we have the opportunity of providing for society its moral heart. The only thing that stands in our way is ourselves. I leave you with A. Powell Davies. What can we do to stretch our hearts enough to lose their littleness? What can we do to stretch our hearts enough to lose their littleness? Amen and blessed be. Our benediction is from Mark Bellatini. Go in peace. Live simply, gently, at home in yourselves. Act justly, speak justly. Remember the depth of your own compassion. Forget not your power in the days of your powerlessness. Do not desire to be wealthier than your peers and stint not your hand of charity. Practice forbearance, Speak the truth or speak not. Take care of yourselves as bodies, for you are a good gift. Crave peace for all people in the world, beginning with yourselves. And go as you go with the dream of that peace alive in your heart. Amen. And blessed be.